Welcome to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. In this series, Bishop Campbell hopes to present many subjects, including life in the Church, spiritual growth, our responsibility as Christians, and our individual vocation to holiness. From the Chair is intended to encourage our prayer life, to draw us deeper into a relationship with God, and to announce the good news of Jesus Christ. And now, Bishop Frederick Campbell.
My dear friends, this past Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Lent, there was, as a first reading, a selection from the first book of Samuel. It is the account of the prophet Samuel choosing a successor to King Saul. And he went to the family of Jesse to select one of Jesse's sons. And Jesse brought out all of the sons that were present, and one by one, the prophet rejected them. And actually, the prophet seemed to suspect that Jesse had another son and asked for him. Jesse then said, yes, there is a younger son, but he's a mere boy. He's out in the fields with the flock of sheep. And Samuel said, well, have him come in. And when the youngest son appeared, he was chosen. His name was David. Became, of course, an almost archetypical king of Israel. And when he chose this young strapping boy, the prophet Samuel said to Jesse, you have got to learn to see as God sees, and not to depend simply on the way that men see. And often, that seeing with God's eyes is one of the most significant calls that I think believers have. Seeing the rightness of God's choice, of God's command, it's part of the mystery of God's providence, how in fact He is guiding all of human history and our personal destinies. And it is often only in retrospect that we begin to see its rightness. And I think that as we continue the holy season of Lent, we might make it one of our tasks to learn to see as God sees. Now, in order to do this, I think we have to begin by meditating on what God has already done, how He has acted in history, not only in the history of the entire Christian faith, but also in our personal histories, those times when we were subject to an occurrence or to a challenge or to an opportunity to do good. And meditating on these events helps us to see a little more clearly how, in fact, God looks upon us, looks upon our history, and upon the history of the world. In meditating on what God has already done, we then begin to trace the pattern of His play. We have a number of examples taken from sacred scripture. The choosing of Abraham, calling him out of his homeland into a foreign land, but making him there the father of what came to be called God's chosen people. Abraham himself had to learn how God sees rather than how he would expect things to happen. We have the story of Joseph, out of jealousy sold into slavery by his envious brothers. But Joseph in Egypt rising to great power. We have the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus. A young woman in the backwater of the Roman Empire, chosen to be the mother of the Savior. Certainly, as men would see, they would not have expected a Savior to come out of such an unpromising part of the world at that time, or even understanding that this was the appropriate time. Scripture tells us that in the fullness of time, the Savior appeared. And we have to understand that when we talk about the fullness of time, we do not really understand what men are planning or how we would have arranged it at a particular time. The fullness of time is the time in which God fulfills. He fills it with his presence and whenever he chooses. And even in the history of the church, we think of how God calls certain men and women to be saints, and to be saints in order to teach others what it means to live the gospel, to imitate our Lord Jesus Christ. And some of these are at first very surprising to the world about us. I think of the little flower, Saint Therese of Lisieux, who as a young woman entered the Carmelite order, cloistered from the world, but in her simple autobiography, expressing a profundity about Christian love and the Christian faith. And in that single work and in the character of her life, she came to be named a doctor of the church, a teacher of the church. And what I suspect is most surprising to the world about us, she is the patroness of the missions. And it was because of her love of prayer, the love of others, exercised in seemingly so small a way. But in her life, we see the power of what she called her little way. That is the intensity of love, not the numerous or immensity of her activity. As I said, Lent is a wonderful time to pray for God's grace in order to see as he sees. It is a time to do this in order to avoid a very serious temptation to which all of us follow. And that is simply accepting the way the world around us sees, what it expects, what it rewards, how it defines human life. This temptation has been part of the life of the church in every age. And in each of those ages, there was a temptation to the church to see herself in terms of the world about herself. We've had them throughout history. During the time of the Roman Empire, once Christianity was accepted and eventually became triumphant, there was a temptation to see the church as kind of a reflection of the imperial order of Rome. Well, that temptation was shattered when the Roman Empire fell, and Christians had to think, how in then does the church survive? How does it flourish? And they did so by remembering that the church is the body of Christ. It is certainly living in the history of the world around it, but it is not of the world. During the 17th century, there were French Catholics who believed that the French monarchy was almost an eighth sacrament. Well, that monarchy is gone, and the church had to again relearn what it meant to be the body of Christ. And even in our own time, so often Christians want to see the church as a reflection of the democratic order around them. Or even, and I suspect this is a great temptation for Catholics in America, to conceive of the church as replicating a corporation or corporate life. In a more general sense, I think we have to be careful about the temptation to define what we consider success or happiness, simply in worldly terms. and how we may see other people or define other people. It is important for us to remember who we are as members of the church, which is the body of Christ. Part of our life in our prayer and our liturgical worship and our meditation and our practice of charity, we have to focus on the person of Christ and his work, how he preached, the miracles he performed, the people whose lives he touched. And in doing this, we follow the advice of the prophet Samuel when he told us to see as God sees, not as men sees. And then in this fashion, we can come to understand more directly and more profoundly the pattern of God's participation in the history of our world and in our personal lives. And in understanding that, embrace it and achieve a true peace and joy.
You have been listening to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. Join us each Tuesday at 5 p.m. for From the Chair with Bishop Frederick F. Campbell.